What is going on, guys? This is Gene Jensen. It is time for another Friday Night Live. What is up? What is up? We're starting early. I want to see what happens. A lot of people probably won't even get on for a while, but goodness gracious. It's been a crazy day. It definitely has. I had some band and show choir award ceremonies or award things to go to with my kids. So luckily they were both at the same time, but at different schools across from each other. So we were running back and forth schools. But I had to postpone this just a little bit. But spent today driving to Memphis, Tennessee and back home. I started in Huntsville where I was filming this week. So I left Huntsville, drove to Memphis, dropped some stuff off for Jordan and hauled my butt back home. Got home a few hours ago and set this thing up and then went to the awards ceremony. What's up, everybody? Beaton Banks, what's going on? Jesus Guillardo, what's going on, man? Man, Joshua Workman, what's up, man? He says, finally made the first live actually live and not watching it the next day. Did I give you enough notice? What's up? What's up? Hey, Sean. Hey, Eddie. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Thanks, George. What's up? I'm gonna let everybody jump on here real quick. But Jason, what's up, man? Oh, I know. I heard you weren't fishing anymore this month. That's okay. I'm not fishing any more challenges. I got the one I needed and qualified for the championship. That's all I need. Stefan, what's up, brother? What's going on? Michael Moon, hey man, what's up? What's up, Alex? But I filmed the last 3 days, Chad's TV show. We finished up the season, the last three episodes this week, two and part of a third one. So we're done with that, and I don't have to worry about that anymore. So it's not gonna bump me off of my own schedule again, which is good. What's up, Bama Nation? What's up? He says about to start Friday night bass tournaments. And cars enough nothing but bass. Any advice? I know nothing about bass fishing at night. We'll cover that here. Remind me in about five or 10 minutes when I start the Q&A. I'd love to do that. It's been a long time since I fished night tournaments. I did it a lot years ago before YouTube got rocking and rolling. So LHA drummer, what's up, man? What's up? My son's a drummer. So was I. So yeah, I'm trying to get him to start a tournament or a competition drum line in high school. I think they'd be awesome. So James Dodson, what's up, man? Thank you. Appreciate it. What's up? What was that, John? He says, I unplugged the trailer lights for a boat trailer when backing in the water. Yes. Well, it depends. I have the lights I have, the new ones you see on a lot of trailers, the LED ones that are sealed, you don't have to worry about unplugging them. The old ones, if you have an old trailer that doesn't have sealed lights, yes, you do. Like even the Walmart, the replacement ones. Like I had it's happened to me twice. Brand new boat, brand new trailer, and I have some lady pull her husband's boat trailer into the parking lot and take out one of my taillights on my trailer. And I had to run to the store and get it replaced because I'm usually on the road. And so, those you get from like the stores are not sealed. And so you have to start unplugging them. And they're still going to get water in them. They're still going to go bad, but it's not going to do it as fast. So what's up, Adam? One of the best kayak anglers around. Sar Major, what's up? Let's see. All right. So what else is going on? I've got my first guide trip scheduled for Monday. I haven't contacted the guy. We had it scheduled for this past Monday, but he forgot he had jury duty. And so we postponed it and I pulled a few strings and we're going to fish on Monday. So, but other than that, that's going to be kind of a changing thing as I decide how I want to do this all. But the first several people that book a trip are getting it for $300 a day, which is $200 less than what I wanted to charge. But I'm only guiding the 1st through the 10th, except for this first one, the 1st through the 10th of the month. And it's on a lake right down the road from my house that I know like the back of my hand. It's the Rocky Mountain PFA Trophy Lake, known as, what's the name of that stinking lake? Heath of Heath Lake. So, but yeah, you can book it through Fishing Chaos is what you can book it through. They have a charter section on their app, and that's where you can find that, all of that. It's so easy to use it as a guide. If anybody knows any guides who are looking for a really good way to manage their guide service and be able to make your own adjustments and changes and stuff, my goodness, that is such a cool site. I mean, they can pay you through it and everything else. So it's pretty cool. So, Chris Roberts, KBF no more. I'm trying to focus on content, on making videos. When I go into tournament mode, I don't make videos. You guys saw it last year. I think I have 17 total videos last year, or 20, because I was fishing full-time tournaments. Yeah. You're not going to, that's just the thing is when I'm focusing on tournaments, I stop filming because, I'm 100%. So, all right, so let's start. I'm going to go up and find some questions. We'll start off with the night fishing ones that from earlier. See if I can find the comment. Here it is from Bama Nation. He says, good evening. I'm going to start Friday night bass tournaments on Carters in a couple of weeks. I know nothing about my bass fishing at night. Any advice? So one thing I learned about bass fishing at night is bass can still find your lure. And I like to use either some type of a vibrating or noise-making lure, you know, buzz bait, spinner bait, crank bait, that kind of stuff. Or a dark-colored worm or jig. Because you got to understand, especially on most nights, a bass can look up and, you know, can the sky still looks fairly light compared to his surroundings around him. If he looks up, he can still see silhouettes and things like that. And so as he sees a jig coming falling down past him, he can see it. And then, you know, vibrating baits, he can feel it with their lateral line and stuff like that. So I typically don't change a whole lot. I may add rattles to things, and just use stuff that thumps a little bit better. My favorite night fishing bait outside of a buzz bait or any kind of a topwater is a purple and black spinner bait that's got a big Colorado blade. And I'll throw that around dock lights and docks that don't have lights and whatever else. And I won tournaments night fishing with a shaky head for years. And just clicking a shaky head up against rocks around riprap and things like that and catch tons and tons of fish that way. So the biggest thing is for me, for night fishing, is make sure your boat is clean before it gets dark. Because then you start tripping and falling in the water. So clean everything up before it gets dark and then just fish normal. But if you have dock lights and stuff like that, definitely go hit those. But those are going to be, you know, there are going to be tons of bass fishermen hitting dock lights. Anyway, Jason, actually, this Jason right here is a really good night fisherman. He fishes on nights all the time out of his kayak. So, let's see. There he is answering the question. Anyway, Winchester Model 70. That's a good gun, dude. Anyway, I fish. I have a Winchester Model 88 308 lever action. It was my dad's, and now me and my little brother share it. I fish Lake Wachita in Arkansas. It's pretty clear. And my question is 20 pound fluorocarbon too big visible for Carolina rig and football jigs in that lake? No. No, they can still see it a little bit, but I've never had an issue with that. And back when Clark's Hill was super, super clear, I was dragging a Carolina rig with 20 pound test. Me personally, I like 15 or 17 pound test for Carolina rig. For me, it just, I feel like I get better action out of the, you know, the worm when I don't have a lot of, a thick line. You know, if I can get away with 12 pound, I could, but I set the hook and break 12 pound pretty easy. So I go 15 to 17. Let's see. Ace Campery says, I got skunked for the first time in a while today. One bite and I pooched it. That sucks, man. I fished a lake yesterday. We filmed on a lake in Alabama. It's only like a 7-year-old lake. What was it called? The Duck River Reservoir. Some of you guys may have heard it. That is the coolest stinking lake that I've fished in a long time. Offshore structure. Of course, that's what I love. But, dude, it had like a rock quarry that was 130, 140 feet deep. I was like, oh, my gosh. And it's only 800-acre lake. But it had like several different deep holes in it from what looked like a rock quarry. And then it comes way up to shallow water. I was sitting in 60 feet of water pitching to the bank and catching fish. It was just a cool little lake. But, dude, that was a tangent. But I had a lot of fun yesterday. Tips for someone looking to get into kayak bass tournaments. A lot of these guys on here, I know Jason fishes them and a couple other guys fish them. And I fished one this year and I might fish another one. I don't know. But it's the challenge series from KBF is a really good one because it kind of helps you get used to it's what it is. It's a month long tournament that KBF puts on. You join KBF, you go and you start fishing these monthlies, which are just for your state. So you're only competing against the other guys that are in your state that are fishing in the monthlies. And it's your best five for the whole month. So you can go out, you can make all the mistakes that you can, that you're going to anyway. We've all made them. Measuring the fish, practice measuring the fish. If you get one rejected from the judges, you know, they tell you what's wrong with it and you can change your, you know, change your ways. But yeah, dude, or, you know, fish flopping, all the mistakes that you make as you're getting into tournament fishing, it's better to do it by yourself. Nobody's, you know, it's just, you know, you're not up on stage. Nobody's talking about it or anything else. So, and then go from there. And then there's, you know, the Bass has it, you know, the Bass Kayak Series, your state may have a Bass, a state club, the Bass Nation State Club. And then, Hobie has tournaments too, but they don't allow motors. So I don't fish Hobies. I like my motor. is what it is. But yeah, there's tons of different ways. And then there's state clubs and things like that you can join too. And those guys are always pretty nice. At least most of them are. So pattern for hot water summer bass in Florida. So in Florida, I'll say this 1,000 times, there are certain colors in Florida that work. And there's a lot of colors that aren't as good. Okay. So the colors I always have for Florida, no matter what time of the year, is green pumpkin, and in not this order either, but green pumpkin, black and blue, and June bug in soft plastics. In the summertime, I'm throwing a Cinco, either Texas rig or wacky rig, and I'm just working it in holes in the grass, and I'm working it around really slow, and then I'm also punching into thick grass and stuff like that. I don't do a lot of fishing in the summertime in Florida, but I do when I go down in July when it's miserably hot and stupid. And I've done really good on a Cinco in and around deeper spots in the grass and stuff like that, or in ditches and stuff like that. Other than that, dude, I'm always in the middle of the wintertime. I'm down in Florida fishing. So how can I get set up with a guide trip? So you go to Fishing Chaos, which is an app. I'm going to share my screen with you real quick. Sorry, guys. I know I did this last week too, but there it is. My camera's in the way and I'm trying to work around it. All right. So share my screen just like that. Go to Fishing Chaos, and it's an app. You can get it on your phone. And when you open it up, this is what it looks like. Well, it doesn't look like this, but I mean, this is the current tournament that I'm fishing. But, what you do is you go once you sign up for Fishing Chaos, which is free, just create a little account. You're going to have an account in order to book with me anyway, but click on dashboard over here on the left side of your screen. And like I said, your phone, it'll be just like this. You'll have a little, you hit these little, three lines and this little bar pops up. Dashboard. Actually, no, go to charter. And then go right up here and search for Fluke Master. And there I am right there. And then you go down here, you click on whichever guide trip you want and start the booking process. You know, these are the days that are, well, most of these days are closed for something. I always do online coaching. I can do that anytime. But if you click on the day, and I don't know why it's so slow, right? Oh, it's because I'm on live. It won't do it. But you click on the day, it tells you what's open. And like I said, I'm only guiding the 1st through the 10th. So just like that. All right. Oh, and it's kayak fishing too. My boat's not ready to guide out of yet. So when my contract was over with the Lumacraft, because the Lumacraft stopped making all weld boats. And so we let the contract run out. They never sent me my title for my boat. So my boat registration expired. I know I'm trying to get the title from him and stuff like that, and then get it where I can legally be in my boat before I start guiding on the boat out there. So right now I can provide a kayak and we can go out and have a whole lot of fun. So let's see. Everybody's talking about night fishing. I'm trying to weed through all those. Applin's Heart, Keg Creek tomorrow, 6 a.m. What should I be doing? I do have the hats. Go to the Gatto app and see if you can pull them up on that. If not, let me know on Facebook. I have several hats on there. But no, I haven't put anything else up. I need to go ahead and do that. I think there's a hat. No, there's not. Never mind. I'm not even going to say it because I know I didn't set it up. I was going to. Let's see. Robert DeYoung, he says, thanks for all the great info, Gene. I'm fishing a lake here in Arizona tomorrow that looks like a mud hole. Thoughts on how to attack it from my kayak? So muddy water, the muddier the water, the shallower the fish go, because they still have to see. They still have to be comfortable. But understand that a bass can be comfortable with a stick that's right here on his eye. You know, he'll get up close to a piece of cover or like a stump or a log or shallow rocks and stuff like that. But the muddier the water, as long as it's warm water, muddy, cold water, I go home. I don't even fish. If it's cold, muddy water in the wintertime, you ain't going to see me on the water. So what I'm going to do is when it's warm water, you just go fish shallow and pitch a black and blue something or throw a chartreuse and blackback square bill or a chartreuse spinner bait and bump into all the cover you can. You know, if you see a stump or a dock or something like that, throw multiple times around there. Because a lot of times you've got to drop that bait right past their nose for them to open their mouth. I won a tournament years ago on Lake Oconee. And a lot of you guys that know Lake Oconee, I was up Sugar Creek. It had been raining for 3 days and Sugar Creek turns into a mud hole. And actually it was Sugar Creek and all of the river. And so how I won the tournament was I was throwing a black trick worm on a shaky head. But I had to get within an inch of the outside corner post on the dock. And I'd make multiple casts. But I found out after about an hour and a half of fishing, and I caught fish, but I found out that the way they were positioned was always on the down current side of the post. So it reduced the number of casts I had to make to those posts. And as long as I got it within an inch to an inch and a half off of that post and let it fall straight down on the edge of that post, I'd get bit before it hit the ground. And so, but again, the fish are going to be super shallow. And the reason they got hit before it hit the ground, they would hit it about maybe a foot under the surface. It'd go past their nose, they'd grab it, and then I was done. So, oh, Mailman Down says, I caught a huge softshell turtle yesterday on my chatterbait mini-max. Definitely not what I expected to catch. I caught one the week before last. And I sliced, see if I can get it to focus. I sliced, you can see it healing, my finger trying to pull the line up so I could cut the daggum thing off. I caught it on a Texas rig. That summer gun was at least 20 pounds. And it fought forever. And man, it sliced my hand good. I was not happy. And I lost a pair of pliers too. I was pissed. Anyway, it was a good pair of pliers. What's the phone tethering device you use? So what I use is so Rogue Fishing, and they're supposed to already be live with these. It was my idea. And we're going to make some Fluke Master branded ones as soon as I hold his feet to the fire. But we're selling these right here, and it comes along with something similar to this. This is one I've had for years, so it's not what it's coming with. But they're little bitty tabs, and all you do is you get a phone case. I don't even know what kind of phone this is. I don't know what kind of a phone case this is. Anyway, it drops right here, goes down through the little charging port, and then it clips on. And that's all I use. I used to make it out of 550 cord and Gorilla tape. And we started playing around with different materials and stuff like that. And we decided to start making them out of aluminum. So that's my tether. Very simple. Very, very simple, but totally stays out of the way. You don't even know it's there. So Jason Valley Fishing, thanks for the $5. He says, when would you choose to throw a jig versus a Texas rig soft plastics? Love the show. Thanks, man. I just reread your question. Oh my goodness. I've been throwing a jig 100% of the time for the last month and a half. I love jig fishing. Now I will switch. If the jig isn't working, I'm going to switch to a Texas rig. And once, for me, my own personal experience, once that water starts to get really hot, I'm talking about surface temperature, I'm not talking about under the water, but once we get into summer, we start getting thermocline that have formed in the lake, I have more success dragging a worm than I do a jig. There still will be days where the jig works, but for me, I just start dragging a worm more. So it's more, if this isn't working, then I'm going to try this. And vice versa. So, but I've been flipping a jig. Of course, I've been live scoping everything too, but I've been flipping a jig for the last 2 months. Poor Jason Starley. Oh, Jason right here. Sorry, man. I didn't mean to beat you last month that bad. I hope you still want to be on my team. Oh, man. But yeah, it was all with a dang jig for sure. Let's see. Nick Gentry, KBF tournaments fish against others in the state. Yes, they're called the Challenge Series tournaments is what they're called. So, cool, announce when you're not fishing one so I know when I'll have a fighting chance of winning. Yeah, I'm not fishing any more Challenge Series this year. I might get bored and jump into one like in October, but nah. So, Michael Moon, I still owe you a fishing trip, man. Let me get my boat straight. Actually, we can probably go on your boat, can't we? He goes, hey, last weekend ran into something never seen before. Was mid-afternoon, and the wind was blowing in gusts straight at a large sandbar where the water was 2 feet or less. Oh, that may have timed you out. There was at least... Oops, I almost put you in timeout. There was at least 5 schools of shad circling in an area about 100 yards long. Good grief, dude. Let's see. Somebody's talking to Georgia. I don't want to talk to Georgia right now. I will in a minute. Jason says Sinclair is better than Lake Oconee. Yes, it is. It is. It used to not be, and we've talked about this for sure. Back in my day, Sinclair, if you caught a kicker fish, you were winning a tournament. I mean, if you caught a 5-pounder and four dinks, you were winning a tournament. Great American Survival. It says, I need to go fishing. You guys that break these things up are killing me. I need to go fishing. That's what I use all. Oh, you guys are talking to each other. He says he uses the same tether. That's awesome. Joshua Workman, still using the original Rogue fishing tether. Only complaint is pulling out of pocket when standing and fishing in my SS. Yeah, That first one, I never got one just because I already was doing that with, like, you know, like I said, Gorilla Tape and 550 cord. And to me, yeah, it just would get stuck pulling it in and out of my pocket is what I thought too. Just seemed a little bulky for me. So I don't know. That's just one of the things I was just like playing around with and stuff like that. So, oh gosh, Bluegrass Bodybuilding asks this question. What would you throw at Kentucky Lake next weekend if you were fishing it? I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I have no clue about Kentucky Lake anymore. I fished it for that championship, that KBF championship, and it is nothing like what it was years ago when I used to fish it all the time. I almost broke into tears, man. Seriously, you no longer find the big schools and stuff like that. For me, I would go up a creek and find current and fish in the current, really. Get as far away from those carp as you possibly can. And it's not so much the carp that's ruined Kentucky Lake. It was the combination of the carp and them killing all the grass. So the plankton no longer had a place to hide and to attach itself to the grass. And the carp are filter feeders. They eat all the plankton. And then that's the beginning of the food chain. And that was the beginning of the end of Kentucky Lake is the way we used to, you know, used to know it. So, Michael Moon, thanks for the $5. He says, yeah, we could only manage a 1-pounder and some dinks. We could throw at when they started blowing up and on top. Yeah, that's crazy. I was fish catching fish off the beds during those huge windstorms we had the last week. That was dumb. I almost got blown out of my kayak and I was sitting down. Ever fished anywhere in Tennessee? Yeah, Chickamauga. I've fished the rivers in the middle of Tennessee. I won a tournament last year on Percy Priest, but never over too far east Tennessee, mostly west or the central part. So, do you think four facing sonar is good or bad for the fishing industry? I personally love it. You know, and I heard the same argument when they came out with side scan, and I heard the same argument when they came out with down imaging and stuff like that. It does make it to where you make fewer casts. You are able to fish a little bit more offshore. I don't know. I think there ought to be tournaments with both that allow them and don't allow them. But for me personally, when I'm out fun fishing, I'll use it for 3 or 4 days, but then I put that son of a gun away for a couple of days so I don't forget how to really fish, you know, how to go out and fish for stuff that's something I can't see. But it sure is fun playing that video game for sure. Joe Scott says, hey, bud, I'm in the mock tournament with you. That's awesome, man. Yeah, I saw that thing and I just kind of joined it just for fun. Give me a reason to go catch some more fish. So, oh, somebody just donated $5. Ace Camper, thanks for the $5. He says, what is your favorite lures for a medium fast 7-foot-1? So my medium fast rod are a lot of my moving lures. Spook baits, my top waters, spinner baits, buzz baits, square bill crankbaits. It's a really good chatterbait rod, a lipless crankbait rod, that kind of stuff. But if you're throwing like balsa baits and Rapalas and stuff like that, it's so hard to cast with it. But I also throw my flukes on it as well. So any kind of a moving bait, I love a medium fast. Most people will say a medium mod, but I've found out that I lose a lot of fish because of the hook set on medium moderate with those style of baits. So I bump it up to a medium fast. So. Let's see. Joe Sky said, I just caught a 23.25 and almost got eaten by a gator. You don't almost get eaten by a gator. You either get eaten by a gator or he leaves you alone. I'm just ragging on you. Have you ever fished Stonewall Jackson Lake or Stone Cold Lake in West Virginia? No, I've driven over Stonewall Jackson, but I didn't stop to fish it. I didn't. What are your favorite brand of reels? I'm gonna be on. I've been sponsored by 13 Fishing for 6 years now, I think. I try to lose before that. I had to lose before that, but it's not any of their current models. I'm not going to say anything good or bad about them because I don't know. But the reason I love 13 is they've always felt better than their price point. I've always fished them and felt like if you guys were going to buy them, you'd be getting a deal. And so there's other reel companies out there when I pick them up and play around with them and stuff like that. Then they don't feel like their price point. They feel like they're overpriced for what you're getting. And so I really do love, I love 13 for that. And they're constantly trying to get better. They're constantly getting better and better. And their reels are great. Their spinner reels this year are really, really good. That's been one of the things they've been struggling with over the years, but their spinner reels this year are great. And their rods are phenomenal, especially their $80 to $120 rods. Which are the ones I primarily fish. I do have my chatterbait rods are their high-end rods because that's just a really good blank. But and my shaky head rod. But other than that, all the rest of them are $80. So let's see. Let me go back up. I know I skipped a few. Let's see. Let's see, where do you usually put in a Kentucky Lake? I usually start down at Paris Landing. I fished my tournament that I finished sixth finished sixth in the Trail Series Championship and fifth in the Challenge Series Championship on Clark Hill. It's my new wall. I didn't show you guys that. It's my new wall of all the how I did last year. Anyway, and I was all the way up in Kentucky on Barkley upper corner. I don't even know the name of the creek. I just put in at a boat ramp and went fishing. So Al Bassett, Al, he says Georgia loves to eat gators. But I fish all over Kentucky Lake for sure. Any experience with Dobbins rods, the Fury line to be specific? I haven't played around with the Fury line. I was on their pro staff years ago on the original Dobbins series when they first came out. And that was mainly just to test them and stuff like that. I'd say pro staff. I just got a discount on rods. And I loved them back then. And then he had those issues with China, the company in China screwing him, and he had to move everything to Korea and he lost millions of dollars in rods. And now I'll tell you, I do know Gary Dobbins. He's one of the best rod designers on the planet. And he designs the tapers and everything else to the rods. And so you're going to get a good rod with Gary Dobbins. He's just always been a good rod builder. And so, you usually can't go wrong. If you're looking at a Dobbins, that would be number two in my book behind 13 Fishing is Gary Dobbins. So. Speaking of gators, can you tell Ashley, my buddy's wife, how much of a non-issue gators are so Josh can go kayaking with me more? Ashley, we are not on their menu. They don't want to eat us. They're curious. They want to eat somebody, some stupid idiot's topwater frog when he starts throwing it at one that's between, you know, a foot long and 6 feet long. But once they get 7, 8, 9, 12, 14 feet long, they don't care. They're more scared of us. They'll get out, they'll crash into the water, scare the poop out of whoever's in their kayak, but they're going to leave and they're not going to hang around. So just don't let him go fishing in places where morons come up to the bank and feed them all the time. That's the one place I wouldn't go. And there's not very many places like that in Florida, but there are some because, you know, there's a bunch of idiots that live in the world. So, do I saltwater fish at all? Mostly just inshore brackish stuff down in Louisiana. I get seasick really easy. It's all up here. I know it is. I can't get rid of it. No drug's going to stop it. I get it's no fun to go offshore fishing for me. I wish it was. You know, biggest fish I ever caught was a Goliath grouper, but it was slick calm and we didn't go very far. I don't know. I'm a wuss when it comes to that kind of stuff. Let's see. TJ's last name. I think 13 fishing is good. I can't get a replacement bell wire for my prototype X because it's discontinued. I wouldn't call it worthless. Get with me on Facebook, TJ. If I've got one in my used reel box, I'll send it to you. I've got one that, like, the handle, I broke the handle off of it. If you just need parts, I'll send you that, or I'll look and see what I've got. So get with me on Facebook. It may take me a few days to respond, so don't sit on your hand and do nothing waiting on me to respond. But tell me about the situation, everything else. Remind me who you are on Facebook, and then I'll see what I can do about getting you at least one of the broken ones, or I break stuff all the time, so I've got parts coming out my ears. I do that all the time. So if I break a rod, I'll strip all the guides off of them and put them in a box just in case I break a guide off another rod I want and I replace it. I do all kinds. I'm always scavenging. So, did you talk with 13 about it? About what? Hold on a second. I can't find the rest of it. Okay. Oh, I know you're talking about it now. Okay. The gator was 8 feet. My line snapped and the fish on the bank. Snapped with the fish on the bank. Idiots are definitely feeding these gators. Yep. Yep, Joe, definitely. Definitely. Michael Moon, Army Pansy. I don't want to talk about the Navy right now. I saw that commercial. That's all I got to say. I'm terribly inaccurate with spinning reels. Any pointers? Learn how to cast a bait caster. I suck at being accurate with a spinning rod. Either that or just take one out and practice. But that's what I don't like about a spinning rod. It's not as accurate as a bait caster. I can skip like a charm. It's really good at fishing finesse stuff and stuff that's really, really light. But I'm telling you, I cannot, like a bait caster, I can hit a quarter at a pitch. It's no big deal. But ask me to do that with a spinning rod, see what happens. It's ugly. So that's I'm really gonna put my I'm gonna test out some of these new BF, what do they call them? Bait casting finesse rods and reels. I'm going to try some out, see what I think about them. So there's a new little fad that's going on. I'm going to call it a fad because it hasn't grown super big. I know I don't like the word fad, but anyway, of people using reels that are specifically designed to throw light stuff. You put 6-pound test on them and they're bait casters. And then the rod is a light or an ultralight rod. And I'm going to try some out. 13 doesn't make one. So I'm going to look around and see what I can find, but I'm going to mess around with it and see what I think, about it at least. Start pitching a dock with a light shaky head or something, see what happens. So what should I throw for out tuna anytime? I mean, I can't buy a bite on a credit card. 3-inch Cinco, wacky rig. Everybody throws those 5-inch Cincos. You can go down to get a 4-inch, but those 3-inch Cincos, white, green pumpkin, and watermelon. And I know that I don't know if Yamamoto calls them watermelon or not, but the small Cincos, dude, I'm telling you, Damon, and he's not on here tonight, but for some reason, Damon won a club tournament by kayak tournament a few weeks ago, throwing a 3-inch Cinco in less than 2 feet of water. And he beat the brakes off everybody else. Everybody else was catching, 3 to 5 to 10 fish. He caught over 100 fish that day. And so, I mean, none of them monsters, but they were good sized spots for Altoona. But yeah, definitely a small little Cinco. Rattletrap, I just got my hands on a 13 Fishing Modus TX2, and I can agree for $100 reel, it feels like it's worth 3 times as much as it costs. I wouldn't say 3 times as much, but yeah, it's worth Yeah, it feels like about $150, $180 reel. It really does. But yeah, dude, they're really good. And like I said, that's been something they've really been working on. I mean, what do they call it? The Prototype X was a great reel, but it had certain issues that they just decided they were going to do away with that one and come out with some new ones and stuff like that. And they'll keep doing that. And they just do it all the time anyway. So, Elizabeth Z, 13 Fishing Headquarters is 10 miles away from me. So you live up in down in Tampa area, huh? But I don't own any of their products. I throw a local product, Bully Bay LMG. Yeah, I know what Bully Bay is. That's cool. That's cool. Still guiding on Gunnersville? No. Jeremy, I changed it just for now. Gunnersville is an hour and 20 minutes for me, and I kind of want to get my feet wet and understand what all I need for kayak, guiding from a kayak and that kind of stuff. And so I'm doing like a guinea pig package, and the guiding is for a trophy managed state owned lake. It's a public lake right down the road from my house. It's open the 1st through the 10th. So I'm only guiding the 1st through the 10th of each month. And you can go to Fishing Chaos and book that. So Gunnersville, not yet. And it may not be till the fall or even next year. It all depends on how it goes. And I'm still waiting on the stuff I need to rig up a second kayak. And it just, everything's going so slow. I was like, you know what? I just want to get things started and stay close to home to start with. So, but it's a great, I mean, you got to come out. You'll learn a lot, especially it's got a lot of offshore stuff and things like that. So, let's see. Jason says, same for me with spinning. I buy one every few years and end up giving it away. thinking I might try a BFS baitcaster. Yeah, dude. I wonder how that'll go. So here, yeah, Al Bassett makes rods. He says, I made a baitcaster rod for 6-pound test for the spots on Lanier. Al, that'd be a freaking blast, dude. Holy cow. That would be awesome. Jack Ritter, what's up, man? He says, I got an Origin R1 recently, and the braid on the spool occasionally just stops about 10 foot into the cast. There's backer and it's on tight, not over spooled either. How to change braid twice now? The braid just stops. Braid does have a tendency to dig into itself on a hook set, or if you get a snag and pull it tight, and then the next cast it'll stop. But I don't know about it. I don't know. You're talking about a backlash, or I'm not sure, but that's usually what happens to me. And also, with just about any line, if you're fishing a technique that has, where you're fishing it on a slack line, like dragging a jig and you reel in the slack line, or dragging a worm and you reel in that slack line, well, the spool, the line on your spool is going to get loose. And for me, especially with braid, about every 15 to 25 cast, I will backlash. Because I've got a lot of loose line on that spool, and then I pull it out and I reel it on there tight, and I'm good for another 15, 20, 25 cast. And so that's another thing. And it's it braids that way. Fluorocarbon isn't as bad, but it's still, you'll find that you'll backlash a little bit as you're doing dragging baits. And like I said, anything you're reeling in slack line, you can have a tendency to get backlash. So, is there anywhere good to catch decent sized spots south of Atlanta? I don't know what the spots on Jackson are doing. They were okay, and I saw some really good ones years ago, so I'm not sure. Maybe Jackson, or the rivers, but I'm not sure. Tough day on Lake Conroe. I don't know how this lake stays in the top 10 of Texas. I have never fished Conroe. That's one of those things where if I ever get a chance, I'll jump at it. So what's my favorite 13 reel? The Z slide is my favorite 13 reel. No, well, yeah, that's the one I tend to use a lot, but I also, the Concept A is bulletproof. The new Concept A, the Concept A2, that is a bulletproof reel, and it's one that I know that I can beat the crap out of. Thanks, Nick. Let's see. I didn't mean this to be all about 13, but it's not bad. Should have mentioned this before, a pair of TX2s with a 13 fake green, 7'6". I'm going to be using it for my crankbaits and the odd chatterbait, I think. Is that overkill for a rod? No, it's not. It's not. 7'6". It might be a little bit if it's a medium heavy. 7'6", I think, is a medium heavy in the fake green. And so, but if it's a medium heavy moderate, no, you're just fine. You'll be okay. Don't want you to have to go out and buy a new rod just for that. I'm glad you guys are talking to each other, but you sure make it hard to find the questions. Oh. Let's see. Jason says, Jackson, never been to Jackson and wanted an excuse to try it anyway. Gonna eat at Buckner's. I've eaten at Buckner's. Dude, don't pass up going down south of Jackson and hitting open air barbecue. It's been there since like 1929. It's one of my favorite places to eat in the state of Georgia. It's all they serve is chopped pork, Brunswick stew that is to die for, coleslaw, sweet tea. And I think that's it. And cornbread. I think they have cornbread too. Somebody donated $20 and I missed it or I'm not getting the comment. There it is. Grant Audi, man. Thanks for the $20, man. I appreciate it. I really do. I really do. They changed the color of the highlight on that on my side. I don't know if you guys see it or not. And it's just hard to see. I appreciate it, man. That's awesome. What part of Georgia are you in, Joe? I'm up in Northwest Georgia. I'm up in Rome. Have I ever finished Johnny Morris rods? I did 100 years ago and I always recommend when people are getting into stuff, buy a combo, Bass Pro Shops combo, whatever else. And I had a bunch of, when I was first getting into bait casting, I bought two or three Johnny over a year period, two or three Johnny Morris combos. And they're great starter rods. They're really good. But once you get serious about it and really want to fine tune everything, you'll find yourself going to other stuff. But yeah, dude, they're good. Whew. Heartburn just kicked in. Should not have had that cookie. When you pack a cooler or a lunchbox for a day on the water, what is your grocery list? Somebody knock on my door. Yeah. What do you want, Gigi? What? Yeah. My daughter wants to get into the freezer. When you pack a cooler or lunchbox for a day on the water, what is your grocery list? I have trail mix, usually without chocolate because it melts. So usually nuts and berries. Thought you were just going to get one ice cream. Whatever. And then I usually have two of the Yeti. These things. I usually have two of those. One that's going to have something with caffeine in it. And one that's just going to have flavored water. And my favorite is usually lemonade. And so that's usually it. And then for survival protein, a can of Vienna sausages or a can of sardines in either hot sauce or mustard. So, did I shoot video while we were over? We were actually in Coleman County. We were filming Chad's TV show. So, I didn't shoot any personally. It was all for the TV show. And I think we shot two of them. No, we shot one in Coleman County. And then, and it was really good fishing. So it only took one day. And then the rest of it was somewhere else. So Gunnersville is where we were too. Fishing Pickwick Lake next month. Never fished it. Any tips? Watch videos on ledge fishing. Get out on the offshore ledges. And then also, as you're going down Pickwick, you'll look on the bank and you'll see what looks like a little pocket. A lot of times on Pickwick, those pockets are actually an old, old wash. And a lot of stuff's been pushed out of that wash out in front, and it creates a big point out in front of those little pockets. If you look at topo maps, you'll see what I'm talking about. Those typically hold a lot of fish during the summertime. And then, of course, ledges and creek channels. And then backwaters, if you can get up into the backwaters. But it's been a long time since I've been on Pickwick. So, have I tried the new Z-Man topwater? I have not. I talked to them about it at the Classic. I'm going to pick some up, but I just haven't had a chance. But yeah, that thing's pretty crazy looking. It's got like the old bladed jig head. You know, the blade is actually Strike King's old bladed jig head blade, the Rage Swimmer or something. I can't remember what they called it. But good gosh, it looks like it'd be just crazy cool. So, Jeremy Crawford, how's the garden coming? It's actually coming pretty good. My corn just is about this tall. So my corn's coming up. I'm gonna put nitrogen on it tomorrow to get it some natural some organic or whatever fertilizer is high in nitrogen. Because corn eats the crap. I mean, they eat nitrogen like crazy. They need tons of it. And then everything else is looking really good except for my zucchini. Only 2 of the 5 came up, so I've got to plant 3 more and figure out what's going on. I think I'm going to seed them in my greenhouse and then transplant them from here on out. So, but yeah, it's looking really good. Everything's coming along. Tomatoes took pretty good. There was only 2 that did not like being transplanted, but I replaced those and everything's doing pretty good. Will Lamb, he says, what is a 6-foot, 8-inch bait casting rod with a 7-4-1 reel good for throwing? What is the speed and power of that rod? Is it a medium, heavy, fast? Is it a heavy, fast? That's kind of what I need to know what's good for throwing. The 7-4-1 gear ratio is a good all-around reel for most things with bass fishing. There's only a few things that I would want something faster, like a jig or a Texas rig where I'm flipping and pitching and wanting to get it back to me real fast. Or there's a few things slower, like deep diving crankbaits, big swim baits, and Alabama rigs for a slower reel. So everything else, I'm throwing a 7-4-1 for sure. 6-8 is a short one. So it's going to be, no matter what you're throwing on it, it's going to be more accurate. You're just not going to be able to get the length that you want, and you're going to lose some leverage on a hook set that you would have on a longer rod. But it all depends on what it is. So, let's see. A-plus fishing. I saw that. You might want to just send an email if you go on to Fishing Chaos and click on, like, contact. There's a contact email. You just send a message, ask why. They'll fix that, though. They've only judged on the weekends, so that might get fixed on Saturday, Sunday. So if it's not fixed by Monday, I'd send them a message and ask about it. But I saw that too. So Nick Gentry says, you mentioned bait casting braided line. You mentioned casting braided line. I threw a lipless Rapala to hear the line snap and watch the lure and 75 yards fly off into the water. Had this happen 2 other times with mono. Almost lost an A-rig the other day. Any idea why my line is breaking off? It's either junky line or wait a second. Yeah, you said braided line. Braided line can't withstand the sudden impact of a backlash. So I have there's $140-some-odd Dwayne Beatty painted bull shad in the bottom of Gunnersville because stupid me had a cheap reel and said, and had braid on. I was like, oh, this will be just fine. And I was fishing it and so on and so forth. One backlash, same thing, 25 feet of line, and that thing just went off into the sunset. And Dwayne Beatty no longer paints baits. I've got one bull shad that I will not fish. That's anyway. So the biggest thing is it can't handle a lot of backlashes with heavier baits. And so you really got to be careful with that. If you're throwing a heavy bait like an A-rig or a swim bait or a heavy jig and stuff like that, have it on a fluorocarbon leader so you have a little bit of shock absorption is what I would do. As for a lipless Rapala, it must US be throwing like 20 or 30 pound braid because it'll do it too. It'll just snap. But that's what you need to know. And the way to prevent that is to, like I said, either one, just put on a leader, go to straight fluorocarbon. Another way is to use a medium or a moderate action rod, and maybe you'll get a little bit of shock absorption from your rod. But that's not very likely. So, Applin's Heart, man, thanks for the $20 super sticker, man. I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate you for sure. If I remember next Friday, you know, when I like you did this time, put a message up here early before I launch the video talking about the hats before I start my live next week. And I'll grab a couple of them and show it to you. We'll figure it out, or get with me on Facebook and I'll show them to you. So I know you want some. I just need to make them to where everybody can buy them. I just barely got them from the guy who had them before me. Anyway, that's a long story. I'm not going to get into. Let's see. Damon, I haven't watched your DVDs of you wrestling yet. So that's my buddy Damon. He was once I don't call him a wrestler. He's a wrestler because he was one of them fake wrestlers. So, that's another one. Al said a nick at one of the guides might also be causing your braid to snap. Not all the guides are rated for braided line. That's true. That's true. You get a nick on there, it'll scratch up your line. It'll cause your braid to snap. I didn't even think about that. Any thoughts on the Keith Poche situation, him being DQ'd today? I haven't even followed it. I was on the road all day today. I did see a little bit about it on Facebook. I don't know. I don't have an opinion. I just leave that up to the judges. It was a pretty cool trick, though. I give you that. He jumped that son of a gun. That was pretty cool. But yeah, that's something they're going to have to sort out themselves. But it's a medium heavy fast, a little heavier than a typical medium heavy. Yeah. Yeah, you could be all right. So let's see what else is going on here to this week. So my goal this month, if you guys are following anything on Fishing Chaos, we have the, let me pull up my dashboard real quick. The Mock Nation. And I know Mock Nation has something to do with the, come on. I wonder, does it get the headliner? Anyway, has something to do with the, with Lou's. I know Lou's, it's Lou's in Old Town. It's all these right here. But there's a tournament. It's a free tournament that I'm fishing. But my goal this month is 115 inches. And currently I have 110.25 inches. So I've got a little bit of upgrading to do. But I want to get 115 inches this month. But I don't even care what the winner wins. I may just decline it and give it to the second place guy. I just want to do it for fun. Right now I've got the big fish for the week, but that should be a lot of fun anyway. Sorry, I had to wait for some questions to pop up because you guys got a little bit quiet. Let's see. Hunter S says, I only have spinning rods and I'm thinking about getting a bait caster. Most of the bass I catch are little on my ultralight rod, but I just got a kayak. What kind of bait caster combo should I get? Start off with like a 7'3" medium heavy, seven speed reel, like a 7.3-1, 7.5-1, but just a, you know, 7-speed reel. That's a good one. But it all depends on really on, hold on a second. Okay. It also depends on what kind of baits you have the most confidence in. You kind of got to pick what rod you want to fish because of that. If you like to fish moving baits like spinner baits and things like that, like square bills, then get a medium rod. But most of us want to start off with like a jig or a Texas rig or something similar to that. A medium heavy will be just fine. Let's see. I'm getting a text. I thought it was from Damon. But yeah, dude. Most people, including me, I started off with a medium heavy. Hey, Gene, I make custom soft plastics. Any tips on places to sell or anything like that? Thanks. Facebook Marketplace is probably a good one. Sell locally. We've got up here in Somerville, we have a trade days, which is like a Tuesdays and on a weekend or something. And a lot of guys sell stuff that they make up there. I think that's it for right now. I wish that Gatto app would I wish they'd let me know if they're still working with me or not. So they kind of ghosted everybody that they were trying to use to promote. And I haven't heard from them, but my worry is that they've given up and the app's going to go to crap. So I don't want to talk about it unless I know it's going to be good for you guys. So, what guides are going to? Oh, what type of guides are going to break over time with braid? If Al's still on here, he'll know for sure. Most good rods, I know 13 all handle braid pretty good. I'm not sure. I don't get all into that. I just trust that it's going to be good. So Jason says, Gene, what about the app you were using a while back that was only hunting and fishing? Never mind, you said that app. Yep, Gatto. Get all things outdoors, but it's Gato Marketplace is what it is. It's a really good app. It was really good to sell stuff on it. I sold a bunch of reels on it. It worked great. I just haven't heard from them. And so I don't know what's going on with it. And that was a guy, he would call or text me about once every other week or so. So I don't know what's going on with it. Let's see. I got a question. Where are you guys going fishing tomorrow? What lakes? I know I'm about to blow up the chat, but I really want to know what lakes you guys are going to fish. That'd be cool. What do you, I just answered, Andy answered that a few minutes ago. I like Dobbins rods. I haven't used them in years. I had the original ones, but I like Gary Dobbins. He's one of my favorite people. And I know that he makes good rods. So thoughts on the state of KBF. I talked to Chad today. Actually, I spent the last 3 days with Chad. He's doing fine. He's just playing catch up. He's got a lot of sponsors that have owed him money. A lot of contracts where people haven't paid the sponsor, haven't paid up. And so and usually when that happens, he would take out a loan on his house, a line of credit, and be able to take care of all of that. Well, he lost his house in the divorce, so he no longer has that. So he's got trying to figure all that out. I mean, there's a lot more to it than that, but I'm not gonna get into that because that's what it's what I Chad, trust me, because I don't talk too much about private stuff, so I can keep secrets, but he's gonna be just fine. It's just a tough time right now for sure. So anybody who's waiting for like payouts and that kind of stuff, just be patient. That's all I can say. Just be patient. He's got a lot pushing against him right now. So, let's see. Lake Eufaula. Man, what a fun lake this time of the year. Oh my goodness. Simply Fishing Duck River Reservoir. That's where I was yesterday. I tell you, dude, that was a cool lake. So, take a jig or a Texas rig. You go just to the other side of that old rock quarry. I'm guessing it was a rock quarry, but the big, huge bluff wall on the right. On the other side, you got all those fish attractors, but there's like an old roadbed or a pond dam or something in that little bitty pocket. Go into the pocket, turn around, cast out across that roadbed, and start dragging over top of it. I probably made 150, 200 casts, but caught seven or eight good ones there dragging a jig. And so, but I think a Texas rig would work good too. So black and blue jig with a green pumpkin trailer. Lake 10 Killer. That's another one that's on my list of ones I want to go fish. It's just got a cool name. Come on. Never heard of Lake Pleasant, Arizona. So Damon's fishing Weiss Lake tomorrow. That's right. There's a tournament. Nope. I'm not fishing that tournament. Sorry, Damon. Let's see. Jason's going to fish Oconee down on the south end. That's good. That's good. Let's see. Anybody else? Who else is fishing? Is Bienville still a good spot? Yeah, they're still a good spot. And we're talking to the owners about doing stuff. We just can't get on the same page yet. It's going to be a slow process, I think. So, yeah, it's still good. The new owners are amazing. Great dudes, good old boys. Love to have a good time. Have a lot of really cool toys. But yeah, they're a lot better than the previous owner. So, Choke Canyon, that's another one. No, it wasn't Choke Canyon that I fished. Choke Canyon's got some giants in it too. Canyon Lake, Arizona. That's a pretty good lake. Addicted to bass. He says, what's up? Do you have any recommendation on a good spinning reel besides 13 fishing? I broke one of mine last week and I already have a 13 fishing and lose and want to try another brand. As much as I don't like the Shimano, the company for other reasons. And if they ever wanted to ask me about it, I'd be glad to talk to them about it. They make some of the best spinning reels out there. Daiwa and Shimano make great spinning reels. If you're not interested in 13 and you want to try something new, grab a Shimano spinning reel or a Daiwa. They've always been really good. Now, don't get the dirt cheap ones. You know, spend a little money on it. And that's the one thing I don't like about Shimano is it's one of those companies where you feel I'm mainly the bait casters. I'm just like they always feel like they're charging too much for what I'm holding in my hand. So, but they do make really good spinning reels. Do I bass fish any in the winter? Yes, I do. All winter long. For sure. What's my favorite type of rod and reel? Type of rod and reel. So, oh goodness. The one I used to fish a lot was a 6'9", 6'8" medium fast. But now my favorite rod is a medium heavy moderate that 13 makes. It's called it's a little heavier than a moderate. It's their chatterbait rod. It's just really good spinnerbait rod, really good chatterbait rod, really good buzzbait rod. But it used to be called their chatter crank, but now it's just their 7'4" medium heavy moderate, and it's just a really good rod. And then my other favorite one is the new Gerald Swindle one, called the Meta Rod, but it's his 7'3" medium heavy fast rod, which is his jig rod. That thing is, I've caught some giants. Ask Jason about the giants that I caught last month. They were all on that rod, on that jig rod. So, because I beat him in a tournament. That's why I said ask Jason. Is that a Fluke Master hat? Applin's Hearts, where I see which one you've got. Dude, I might have those. Fishing at Keg Creek, I have been told to throw top water early in the morning. Just wondering your recommendations. Yes, throw top water early, but if it's a sunny day and those blueback herring are spawning, throw a clear Super Spook Junior all day long on shallow points and shallow flats. If you're going in Keg Creek, just hit, go towards the mouth and hit from the boat ramp out, hit every single long, shallow point all the way out, go across the creek, come all the way back and do it again. And throw a Super Spook Junior, and then also throw a swim bait, a small swim bait, 6-inch, 8-inch, or 6-inch swim bait. I say small, that's kind of medium sized. What's my favorite lake in Georgia is Rocky Mountain Public Fishing Area. 10 minutes from my house. That's where I'm actually. If you missed it, I'm starting to guide the 1st through the 10th on their trophy lake on Heath. So, how long we've been running? 1 hour and 10 minutes. Any tips for Santee Cooper? I've only fished Santee Cooper once, and I didn't hit anything, but my boat broke a 36-inch crack in the keel, and I had to go rush it to the boat ramp and put it on the trailer, so I really didn't catch much. So, no, I don't have a whole lot of experience with Santee, at least not a whole lot of good experience. So, J Max C says, I can't use a spinning reel bait caster at all. The line always just comes off. So Jay, go on my channel and find my old video on how to put line on a spinning reel. And there's a trick you can do. And I used to do it where I took the spool off of the spinning reel and put it in hot water. But take the spool of line before you put it on the spinning reel and put it down in some hot tap water and sit it in there for just, 20, 30 seconds while you're getting ready, and put it on your rod, on your reel, put it on there, or spool your reel up while it's still in that water. But go 10 or 15 turns, stop, flip that spool over. 10 or 15 turns, stop, flip the spool back over, and go back and forth like that, and that'll help reduce the line twist. You're going to get line twist, and that's usually what the problem is. And the best way to solve that problem is to start using your main line being braided line, like a 20-pound test, 15 or 20-pound test braid on your main line, and then learn how to tie a connecting knot like an FG knot or an Albright knot. And I connect a leader, some type of a fluorocarbon or monofilament leader, and you'll have a lot less problems with braided line on a spinning reel. That's all I use now. And it took a buddy of mine 2 years to convince me to do it, and I'll never go back. So anyway, all right, guys, I'm going to jump off here. It's been an hour. We usually run these an hour. It's been an hour and 15 minutes. So, but man, I really appreciate everybody jumping on. I love every one of you. You guys are awesome. But we'll do this next Friday night. This next week, I've got pretty much all to myself. I've got to do a few things in the garden, and then I'm just going to bust out a bunch of videos. I've got probably 160 gigs of footage for just shorts. So you're going to see a lot of YouTube shorts coming out and stuff like that. And we'll just rock and roll with that. But, guys, like I always say, be sure to introduce somebody to fishing. Introduce them to my channel. Let me help you teach them how to fish. More importantly, get out of the water, go and catch some fish, and have a great day. We'll see you.